Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Breakfast with Boz being served by Wahoo. I'm your host, Ian Boswell, coming to you from my kitchen. As always, my wife's walking around with a French press in her hand. What are you doing with that French press, Scratch?
We don't have a microwave, so I was going to warm up our French press coffee here on the stove.
Well, as Gretchen warms up the French press, I am in the process of making some little sausage McMuffin breakfast sandwiches. Gretchen is putting her little breakfast sandwich on a bagel that we have. There was only one bagel left, so I am putting my egg, sausage, avocado, some caramelized onions on a piece of toast. Actually, a beer toast or a piece of beer bread that Gretchen made. And yeah, it's nice to have Gretchen home for breakfast this morning. It's nice and toasty in here and a meal that will fuel us for what is going to be a cold day ahead. So I hope you can all sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode of Breakfast with Boz being served by Wahoo. Before we dive into the episode today, another friendly reminder to head over to wahoofitness.com, the Discover page, Breakfast with Boz, and share your 2021 goals and ambitions with me to become a guest on a forthcoming episode of Breakfast with Boz. There is also a link to the survey in the description of this podcast. Please fill that out. I will get in touch and we can jam for a forthcoming podcast about the wonderful 2021 season, which leads us perfectly to today's episode. I am joined today by three gravel event promoters from around the country to talk about how they, their communities, and riders are planning for the return to gravel in 2021. I am joined today by Amy Charity from SBT Gravel, also Michael Marks from the Belgian Waffle Ride, and last but surely not least, Bobby Wintle from Mid-South. These three wonderful people host some of the biggest gravel events in North America. So, in anticipation of a return to racing in 2021, I wanted to get these three folks on the podcast so they had an opportunity and a platform to share with you how you and they can best prepare for a safe return to events in 2021. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. And at the end of my conversation with each of these three fantastic guests, they will let you know how you can stay up to date with the latest precautions, updates, and advisories for their events. So let's start it off with Amy Charity from SBT Gravel. I'm joined now by Amy Charity, the co-founder of SBT Gravel. Amy, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we were just speaking before we recorded about how quickly things changed in 2020. You said you were out at Mid-South, and then quickly from that event, it seemed like events later in the year may happen, but as time went on, SBT eventually had to close the doors and cancel for 2021 or postpone from 2020 to 2021. How has the event been received from the participants of that event being moved a year back?
Yeah, so I would say that overall, everyone was really receptive and positive about us canceling the race. And just for some context, our race is mid-August. So when we started to realize that things were shutting down in the spring of 2020, we sat down, my partners and I had a look at kind of, okay, what is it going to look like if we host SBT Gravel? And what are some of the changes that we would have to make to have the race go forward? And at the time we thought of, maybe we need to cut the distances shorter and maybe we need to cut the field size and potentially, and then some things were more severe, like we wear masks while we race and then maybe do we have to say no drafting? And we went down this whole path of here are all the things that we think that we would need to do to put on SBT Gravel in a safe way. And we realized that it would be such a compromised version of what we had created that it wouldn't be worth it. And so that's really what drove that decision is we went through that plan and decided that we value SBT Gravel is based on having fun and safety are two of our core values. And this version of SBT is certainly not fun and it's probably not safe either. So we were very early in canceling the race well before we needed to be probably. Yeah, we canceled it in early June and the race is mid-August. And we just knew that there was no way that we could responsibly put on a race that people had grown to love.
Yeah, well, speaking of, you know, the event being postponed, we were just on a call and it looks like in 2021, SBT Gravel is coming back and you've put some things in place. When, at what point in time, you know, kind of following postponing the event in 2020, when did you decide, okay, like we can make this happen in 2021 and kind of here are our steps? But first, like, when was that decision made that we can actually host this in 2021?
Yeah, that's a great question. So 2021, we started putting everything in place, kind of our plan A and our plan B, and how do we go forward with the race in a safe manner. And what we're finding is we've really learned a lot since, you know, since Mid-South last March and since we canceled, there's been a lot of information that has come out. And I think that some of the race directors have put together races in responsible ways and they've shown that it can be done. And there are compromises that can be made and really need to be made. And I think one of the things that's changed is our mindset. So I think that riders are now accustomed to wearing masks on the start line. And that's actually not a big deal. And it's very, very much understandable. And it's something that people will do. And so I think while the mindset of what is okay has shifted quite a bit. And then with our understanding of kind of what can be done safely. So if we think through like aid stations can be done touchless, the registering for the race can be done in a way where you're not near other people. There are so many different options. So I think that people in the event space, not only in gravel racing, but just mass events in general, have spent the past 9 months or so going over how do we get people to be in a way that is going to be safe, yet still represent the spirit of the event. And I think our decision to say, yes, we can go forward with 2021 is that we've really evaluated what that race will look like wherever we are on the scale of risk. And we think we can still bring people to Steamboat Springs. And we are continuing to monitor on a daily basis of what sort of adjustments will need to be made. So our registration is sort of in the process. It's opening to the general public in early December, but we all fall, we thought through, here are some of the changes that will have to take place. And we are confident that we can still do something in a safe way and a fun way, even with some of these compromises.
Well, and how difficult has it been to kind of make those changes? And I'm sure you guys, there's been a lot of, you know, conversations with, you know, the other organizers, participants, and, you know, most probably importantly is the community saying, okay, like, and especially, you know, Steamboat is a town that probably thrives on the tourism of skiing and then now, you know, cycling in summer. How involved and how many discussions have you had with the community about putting the event forward in a safe manner?
Yeah, it's an interesting time to navigate all of this because there are perspectives from everybody has their own opinion on kind of what's safe and what isn't, but we do have a lot of clarity. Our local government is doing a great job of putting in guidelines based on what the risk factors are. So I think because there's been so much time of learning about what this is about that we've been able to really follow a lot of what they're saying. So we're working very close with our community. It's with our city, with our chamber, and they're talking to everyone who puts on events here and saying, okay, given where we are right now, this is what it would look like. Here are your parameters. Here are the protocols that would have to be in place. And then we are also working with the other kind of major gravel events. So we have worked with Bobby at Mid-South. We've spoken with Lifetime for Unbound. We've talked to these other event organizers and shared some of the other kind of best practices. And then from a Colorado perspective, we've spoken with quite a few people who put on some of the other rides. There's a Tour de Steamboat or Ride the Rockies. And we've talked about even sharing some of the stuff that will be new that we're going to need probably going forward. But things like plexiglass, things like how do you make the water containers touchless, and really sharing not only best practices, but how do we actually order some of this stuff together and work as a team and a community to really make a race safe and make sure that we're all doing those same things. So it's everything from those race organizers to our local community. And I will say, in a town like Steamboat, the ski resort is going through these same things. So bringing in thousands of tourists, and how do they feed them? How do they manage the lines? How do they manage ticket sales? How does all of that work? And so we're working with them as well to really understand what innovative ideas they've come up with to make sure it's safe and that they can still have a great ski season.
Well, and one of the things I'm most interested in seeing how changes, you know, I haven't attended too many gravel events myself, but I've heard about them and I've been to it enough to know that, you know, one of the biggest draws of, you know, kind of this boom of gravel events in the US and North America and really across the world is that, you know, this community atmosphere, and especially this post-race, you know, party or, you know, kind of gathering, whatever you want to call it, because everyone's there. The person who finished first, the person who's coming in, you know, hours later, everyone's there hanging out, having a good time. You know, do you think that that atmosphere is going to be changed, or are there still ways to make it where people can, you know, congregate safely post-event and, you know, drink a beer, have some food in a safe manner?
Yeah, the post-race party is something that we think is one of the best parts of the race. It's that pizza and a beer and soaking in the river, and that, and in Steamboat in particular, it's right downtown, kind of on our main street, and it's this vibrant atmosphere. And that is something that we loved last year. And so we're looking at ways that we can make sure that it's spread out. So we are fortunate that there is a lot of room down there, and everything will be outside. So I think even given some restrictions on numbers, we're finding ways that we can have people grab their food in a safe way and spread out a little bit more. So we still envision that as being our finish line. Obviously, there's a bit of positive news with potential vaccines, and I think that could shift kind of where the environment is. But if we're still in a place where we can only have 250 or 500 people downtown, we're finding ways to really spread out those racers. And they do, because of our different course distance options and having all different abilities doing the race, people are flowing in throughout the day. So we do think there are ways to manage that and still create a great sort of finish to the overall event.
Well, and you know, there's still plenty of time before SBT 2021 kicks off, but kind of in preparation for people who are, you know, either signed up or planning on signing up in December, what should they prepare for and kind of expect when, you know, they're attending the event next year? And I'm sure this will change, but, you know, as a participant, what should I and what should other people be expecting before coming out to Steamboat?
Yeah, well, there are a couple things. One is, even before you're preparing to come out to Steamboat, we are going to ensure that we have very generous policies. So if everything goes backwards or sideways and we end up canceling SBT again, which I think is a very, very slim chance, we have generous refund policies and we have deferral policies. So that will be 2022 is when we do the race, or you can receive a refund. And I think that is a really fair way to ensure that people are protected if for some reason we're not in a better spot. So let's assume that we are able to have the race. I think some of the changes is we're requesting that people really own their responsibility of course, and these are things that you hear all the time, but if we get everyone to follow them, things will be better. So you wear a mask when you're not able to be apart from people, that you keep your distance. We will have probably staggered registration times where when people can come here. at this point, I don't think we'll need to show a negative COVID test, but that's certainly on the table. One of the really innovative things, we've talked to a company that's really driving some of the change for events that are much bigger than gravel racing, and they're doing on-site testing with instant results. And so that's a technology that they believe that they'll have sometime in the spring. So that's something that we're exploring. What would it look like if we actually were able to test people and they show, nope, I'm good, and then you can walk into the expo and we give you a wristband and you're COVID-free that second. So there's some really interesting things that we're exploring if we are still in a state that COVID is out there and we need to take some of those major precautions. Some of what's come out of COVID is that we just have a higher sanitation standards. So additional porta potties, more hand sanitizer, packaged food at all of the aid stations. There are a lot of things that I think will stick regardless of having a vaccine or not. And these are all very positive things just for the general health of being around a lot of people. And so those are really what we're exploring and working with our city and our town and other races on what are the best ways to do that to make sure that this still is a fun race for everybody, yet very safe.
Yeah, well, you had mentioned when we were talking before how, you know, we really kind of took things for granted before. You know, you stop at an aid station, there's a, you know, a tray of peanut M&Ms, and, you know, you take your dirty gloves and just shove them in there, and then the next person comes. And yeah, that's probably something that, you know, will be done away with, not just because COVID, but probably forever, which may be a benefit to all of us.
And I absolutely agree. I think it's so funny now. Like those are what like scary movies are made of now. It's like a thousand hands going into the same jar of trail mix. So those are things we've all learned, and I think we've upped our game of really making sure that we're a little bit more, there's sanitation standards and cleanliness standards. And I think that will help the general health of people. But yeah, we have really creative ideas with volunteers they've made everything. They are helping with aid stations and making sure that everything is touchless. And so that can be a really good thing going forward.
Yeah. Well, so where can riders and people who have signed up or are about to sign up, where can they find information and kind of ongoing updates and announcements about the event?
Yeah, so on our website, sbtgrvl.com, we have all of the updates on the latest of what's happening. And we're really committed to communicating with our riders so they will know if we're seeing any changes or if anything is happening that they need to prepare for or be aware of. We are absolutely ahead of sort of the game and making sure that people can plan accordingly. So we are a race that's based on, you know, we want to be fair to every person. And so if there's a reason to cancel or something that people definitely need to know, we're going to get that communication out there to our riders.
Great. Well, Amy, I hope I get to see you in mid-August. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it was one of the events I was targeting in 2020. And I hope to be ready for it in 2021. So thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
I am joined now by Michael Marks, who is the founder and the head of the Belgian Waffle Ride. Michael, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, Ian, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was anticipating on taking part in my first BWR this past May, coming out to San Diego and escaping the cool, damp temperatures of a Vermont spring to come out to California. The event didn't happen, but one of your three events, the Belgian Waffle Ride Cedar City, did take place. How has the year been overall for you, just in general, going from gearing up to hosting three events to, in the end, only being able to go forward with one of them?
Well, you know, I was disappointed we didn't get to hold the event just because you were coming out to race it. You and 4,000 other people that wanted to do the event that paid money to do it. And, you know, at the beginning of this thing, we all sort of thought, oh, well, it'll pass and we'll be able to do an event later in the year. So we postponed the May event to November, literally like, you know, a weekend or two ago. And of course, we didn't get to have that either. But in between May and November, we did get to host Cedar City, as you mentioned, albeit the event was different than we had envisioned. There were still 850 people that had signed up. We got to host it. Every one of the people that were there played along nicely. They wore masks. You know, even on the start line, every single person had to ask for the first 5 miles and then at the aid station. So there was a lot of stuff that we had to instill into that to be able to pull it off. And we did. And there were no COVID cases. And no COVID cases have existed as it relates to the event since it happened a month ago. So we're feeling good about that. And then finally, I would say, I hope that you're planning on coming back on May 2nd, 2021 to do the BWR in San Diego with the 4,000 plus people that have now signed up for that one.
I am hoping to be there. Yeah, it's on my calendar for next year. One of the, to be quite honest, probably one of the gravel events that probably suits my characteristics the most. Just yeah. Haven't seen that Stetna's won it. Not that I'm going to have the same fitness as Stetna, but if he can win it, then heck, why can't I give it a go as well?
Yeah, that race is different because it's only 53 miles of dirt. It's 140 miles, roughly, the new course. 53 of it is dirt, but the dirt is not your typical gravel for the most part. There's rocks and sand and water crossings and, you know, challenging stuff that makes it more dynamic. But there's 90 some odd miles of road that your strengths will suit you well, I would say.
Well, that's the plan, and that's why I have it on my list of events to attend next year. Well, I mean, since you do have experience with actually putting on an event in, you know, in this strange time, and that's one thing that definitely have a foot up on so many other race organizers is the fact that you have put on an event that was run successfully and safely. How difficult yeah. was it to actually make that happen? I mean, just as far as working from, you know, internally with making sure everyone's going to be safe as far as staff and volunteers, but then the community and then riders' concerns, how challenging was that?
You know, all of it was unpleasant except for actually executing on it and seeing how great the community was that did show up and how supportive they were of all the measures that we put in place, because it was rather cumbersome. It was about twice the amount of work to put on the event in COVID, because so much of our psychic energy went into making sure we had the right plans, making sure that the health commissioner was happy with us, making sure that we had the right epidemiologists and doctors helping to not only draft the roadmap to success, but implement it. So tons and tons of work, even things that you would never even imagine, like which sanitary items or liquids can you use, you know, that are approved, which ones aren't, finding those, getting enough of them, prepackaging all of our food, self-service on all the aid stations, which meant that we had to have about 10 spigots that were socially distanced so that people could come up, refill their water bottles, and do so unencumbered by another person being around. I mean, just little things that you'd never even imagine that added to the workload. But in the end, we were able to pull it off, like you mentioned, and it felt good to do so. But I'll tell you, living with the strain of it possibly being going wrong, or, you know, even one person getting sick was really, really stressful. And I don't really want to go through that again. So I'm quite hopeful for next year and the promise of a confluence of things, including the vaccines that will hopefully be widely available by then, and then therapeutics that will, in case people do get sick, that there'll be things to help them with that. So there's just a ton of stuff. And then I would finally say, with San Diego and 4,000 riders, like, how the heck are we going to socially distance that many people? And so I hope that we won't have to.
Well, that's one thing kind of leads me to my next question is, you know, one thing that is so unique with gravel events is this atmosphere around the event and people hanging out, you know, the day before, you know, registration, you know, the morning of, and then, you know, most in particular, following the event, you know, hanging out, having a beer. How did that look at Cedar City, and how do you think the atmosphere and kind of just the feel at these gravel events will change until things, you know, potentially return to a state where, you know, people can walk around without a mask on and, you know, shake each other's hand?
Yeah. You know, I think in Cedar City, everyone was so excited to be doing what they love to do with other people, albeit, you know, wearing masks, that there was a general sense of elation there, that the general reframe was Man, I'm just so glad that I have an event to go to. So thank you for putting it on. But yeah, like the beer garden afterwards, the whole area was a beer garden. So you could be in the beer garden with the beer, but you'd have to like socially distance. So you'd be at a table away from other people. And it wasn't the sort of love fest that are sort of a hallmark of our event, particularly in San Diego. I think some of the most fun things I've ever experienced is the amount of love, like it's a literally like it's a rave and everyone is they're elated from the day and they're drinking beers and everyone is loving everyone and cannot wait to get back to that sort of party atmosphere where people are on top of each other, holding each other. You know, you can imagine 4,000 people that have just finished a race. And the varying states of happiness and agony, but all of them elated to be there drinking beer together. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's something we all hope for and hope that, you know, maybe it is time next spring, maybe things are better off and we can actually kind of get back to that. So what should riders like myself anticipate coming out to the event next year? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of responsibility on you, the organizers, to make sure that everything kind of goes off smoothly, but it sounds like, you know, having a group of participants who are willing to cooperate and follow guidelines that have been put in place by either yourself or, you know, the state or local officials.
Yeah.
You know, what should riders expect kind of getting ready for these events? And obviously by next May, things could be different, but kind of a general overview of what people should be expecting getting ready for these events.
Well, I'll give you the hypothetical of what we had proposed for the November event, which I really don't want to happen. But this is how we looked at it: a 2-hour start window where we would run the pro field first, and then people would have their start times spread out. So you can imagine almost like a TT environment, where over the course of 2 hours, we send out groups. And then, you know, all the aid stations are really, you know, self-serve. And the people that are there are basically there to sanitize. And that was one way we looked at approaching it with the County of San Diego. For this coming year, I don't think we'll have to do that. I think that we'll be able to send people off in waves and sort of go by what we did in Cedar City, because that roadmap seemed to work. But there'd be a lot of waves. So typically we start the pro field and then we also give the women their own waves so they get to race each other. And then there's a host of other waves after that are dependent on your USA cycling race category for the road. So worst case scenario is we do some sort of a time trial type start. And best case scenario is we're back to doing wave starts. And, you know, there's 10 aid stations out there on the course that will be filled with lots of great volunteers who are helping everyone get through it safely and soundly. But it may be something in between those two things.
Well, and is the hope that all three events will happen next year, both, well, I guess, you know, Cedar City happened this year, but that'll happen again, as well as San Diego and Asheville?
Yeah, Asheville will happen 2 weeks after the San Diego event. And then we're looking to move Cedar City up a week or two, so probably October 2nd or September 25th, one of those two. So those three, I guess the later we wait, the more likely it is to happen. And I would mention that we're looking to add a fourth BWR and or a fifth one, but a fourth one in 2021. And we have two great locations for both of those. And then beyond that, we're looking to expand internationally to a couple of different countries. So we do have growth plans in front of us. It is our hope that we can put on four events next year. But again, we don't really know that we'll be able to do that. We're just hopeful.
Are you able to share where this potential fourth event is going to be located?
Well, we've been looking at Austin for a while, and also Lawrence, Kansas. And then we have courses laid out in Canada. And then we're looking at doing one in Japan as well.
Wow. You have a lot on your horizon. I mean, so where can riders, people who have already signed up or are hoping to sign up, where's the best place for them to find information regarding kind of potential events that are going to be launched and also kind of updates as far as, you know, COVID protocols and what riders need to be prepared for?
Yeah. So we have one website called Monuments of Cycling that not only has the Belgian Waffle Rides and the Triple Crown, But we put on other events. Last year, we did an event with Peter Sagan here in California. So monumentsofcycling.com is one. And then the other one is just simply belgianwaffleride.bike. Those two will give riders all the information that they need to know. And we're actually augmenting the site now with some new information, including the COVID protocols.
Fantastic. Well, Michael, I know you're on Thanksgiving holiday, so I'll let you get back to your family. I appreciate you taking the time and hope to see you next May out in San Diego.
You bet, Ian. I really appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and yours, and enjoy the time out there. And I appreciate you rapping with me today. Thank you.
Thank you. A little addition before we hear from my final guest, Bobby Wintle of Mid-South Gravel. After we had finished recording, he told me to let you all know that the decision of Mid-South going ahead will be made 1 month prior to the event. That event is held March 12th and 13th. So by early February, you will all know if Mid-South is going ahead in person or if it's going to be held in a virtual manner, which Bobby is about to explain. So over to my last guest of today's episode, Bobby Wintle from Mid-South. I am joined now by Bobby Wintle, the founder of Mid-South Gravel. Bobby, thanks for coming on.
Ian, man, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, we haven't, we've never actually met in person. We spoke a fair bit kind of leading up to Mid-South this year. We had a short conversation just before the event when I told you I wasn't going to be able to make it out due to the fact that I just come back from Europe. A lot has happened since then. How have you been and how is everything looking for Mid-South 2021?
So I could talk about how I've been for forever, probably. And so I won't do that. But what I will say is that, man, what a wild, wild year 2020 has been for bicycles, for the United States, for bicycles, for races. And I can't believe that our event happened still. And in hindsight, you know, the smart thing would have been to cancel. And I think we've all said that publicly from the race like a million times that, you know, we were head down for, you know, the last 4 weeks leading up to 2020, not, you know, diving into the news a ton. I mean, the shop is insane. We're a team of five at the shop. And then we've got, you know, the team of three of us really full time at Mid-South. And so we're splitting time between two of us at the shop, between Crystal and I. We're both at the shop and with Mid-South. Sally's the event manager. And honestly, we were following everything as close as we possibly could. The NBA thing happened on Wednesday, right? Like everybody knows, in Oklahoma City with the Utah Jazz. And then all of a sudden it became like the most talked about thing nationally. And so we went ahead, we had the race, we had less than half show up. I mean, we had 1400 show up out of 3,250 that we had slated. And, it still felt like a ton of people, to be honest with you. It was crazy, but so thankful we had it. And then also on the flip side of that, just to kind of tie a bow around it, if people don't know, we did ask everyone to give us feedback about whether or not they had come in contact with someone that maybe got diagnosed or came down with COVID before they came, or if anyone was, you know, having symptoms after. And we only received one call back from someone in DC that said they had been in contact with someone before they got tested. It came back negative. And that was all we heard. But for 20 days straight, man, I'll be honest with you, I was terrified. I was terrified of getting people sick, of killing someone or their family member. So it wasn't, I won't say it wasn't worth it, because I know it's the one event that a lot of people have had to hold on to for this year to look back on and to reminisce and to use for, you know, for motivation for the future and to be proud of again, and also like use for their own marketing purposes if they were a pro and they had some great photography or video come out of it. But man, it was stressful.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like your event couldn't have been at a better or a worse time, because it was at this
right
confluence of, we were just learning more information. Things were slowly starting to close down, but like, literally, had it been a week later, it would have been like, oh, there's no way this has happened.
No.
But it was still early enough. And like, you know, I had just come back from Europe. So I had known kind of like that some races in Europe were being canceled. And like,
right.
But I came back to the US and it was still like, no one was really talking about it. Maybe it was on the news, but people were going. Like, I remember the weekend that I was supposed to come out to Mid-South, I went up, a new brewery opened just near us. And one of my neighbors is like, oh, they're talking about closing the schools. Like, they're not going to do that. Like, what are they talking about? Sure enough, the next week, the schools closed. But it's like this crazy time when like people hadn't fully caught up to what was happening. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the event did right happen. It went ahead. You know, it was a filthy race. It was, it looks so dirty, but
it was happened wild.
And from what I see, it's planned to happen again in 2021. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So we have an entire COVID protocol set in stone on the website, as far as like the CDC protocols and then even beyond, you know, like masks at all times. Right now, the way that the event is looking right now, we're looking basically to pull back on any sort of part of the event that we're actually super great at that's not just the race itself. So, I mean, the beer can release party, as of we sit right now, it's not happening. We're not packing people into a tiny brewery to start socializing and drinking on Thursday night over at Iron Monk. We are still going to do the beer. We are still going to have beer sales outdoors, outside, any place of gathering at all. So live music right now, it's again on the chopping block. So no live music, no writers meeting, no places to gather whatsoever, and masks required within the closed sections of the street at all times. We're gauging how many vendors and how many sponsors are interested in the expo, and we're still working on those conversations and whether or not the expo can happen safely and will happen safely. And so I mean we're talking about a completely contact-free expo. What does that actually look like? So we're trying to wrap our heads around how we give people who can be physically present at the event an opportunity to be visible and to market their product to all the people that are coming to the race. And also, it's just a fun vibe. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to Sea Otter, you know, been to DK Expo, Unbound Gravel Expo, been to our own expo, and it's a blast. It's so much fun. It's a way to interact with a consumer base who's highly, highly aware of what's going on. But right now, I'm not sure if that's even going to happen. So honestly, we're doing basically nothing except a race as far as we are now. If things drastically change after the first of the year or right around February, then we may look at it differently for the physical event. But right now, we're looking at just a race with wave starts. We had everyone in registration pick a really, you know, we made them be very, very honest about a finish time, and that finish time that they picked will then determine which wave that they're in. And we're still internally trying to figure out what that looks like, what the numbers look like as far as how many are in each wave, how do we actually physically distance everyone, how far apart do the waves need to start. So we're working on all that stuff right now. But basically, the course obviously is going to be unbelievable. We're doing a brand new one that's heading northeast of town. That we've never, ever gone that way. We've come back into town from a few roads just a few miles north and northeast of town, but we've never gone this far in this direction. So I'm really excited. We're working on some cool stuff with that. We are obviously already talking for the last 6 weeks. We've been talking about what virtual would look like. So I'm not interested at all in making people stare at a computer screen more than they already do. So I'm working on the SBT gravel format of routes in different places that would be the same distances that we offer. So 50K for the running, 50 mile or 100 mile bike. And then also you can do a double if you're signed up to do the double, which is the 50K on Friday and then 100 mile bike ride, bike race, whatever you want to do on Saturday. In some key, I want to do key specific, the way we want to differ from everyone else is do some key specific gravel communities. So obviously Emporia would be one. Talking with Laura and Ted King in Vermont, we've got the Gravel World's crew up in Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, we've got the Big Sugar team with Gabby Shelton over, I'm sorry, that's her maiden name, Gabby Adams over in Bentonville. So I want to do a few things before jumping straight into a whole virtual, you know, something like with Sufferfest, like you and I have talked about, which I would still love to figure out if there's an option there for people who potentially couldn't ride outside. Let's say if they're up in the northern Canadian territories and they want to be a part of this virtual experience, we can do something like that. But what I want to see people do is if they're part of one of these communities, do one of these routes that we get curated through a local who is super knowledgeable of the roads, tie it back into a local bike shop that has 20 to 25 swag items that are from our sponsors, and they can come in and Ride with GPS is working with us on a virtual leaderboard for people who are either in these communities or also just logging their own 100 mile route or 50 mile ride or 50K run. And we're going to have this virtual leaderboard so people can just see where they stack up for the weekend. But if you're in one of those key specific gravel communities that have done this and with the partner bike shop, you can come in. And if you're one of the first 25 people, you get something from one of our sponsors. And then we're going to give 50% of our proceeds that we got in for registration back. So you'll get $50 back and we're going to ship out your stuff if we don't have a physical event. So I want virtual to be really engaging. I want people to feel like they're actually a part of something. And I want people to go outside. And I want to tie back into retail. So anyway, that's plan B, I guess.
And we don't even have to go on to plan C. Let's hope that the plan's in at A or B, and that
it's A or B.
Plan C is that we're back to plan A and people are showing up and we're riding, and yeah, we can all get together and you can finally hug people at the finish line again. I think that's probably what you miss most about not being able to, you know, have the event in person. If that weren't to happen in person, that would be what would kill you the most.
I mean, it's super weird. I'm you know, again, it's something that happened completely organically. And the fact that it's not a part of like what we're doing with the event, that it's become such a staple, you know, completely on accident. It's weird. It's super weird. And I obviously want everyone to be safe. So like, it's not a contention by any means. Like we're not arguing about it internally. It's just not an option right now. And I don't know when or how that's going to come back and how people are going to feel about it. You know, we're just going to have like a really open conversation with ourselves every year with like, where is everyone at? How's everyone feeling? I don't think any of us were prepared for any of this whatsoever, let alone the amount of months that it's taken for us to get through this thing. But we want to provide an incredible experience for people that makes them feel part of a community. And whether that's in person or not, that's what our goal is that the customer, the participant, is the quote unquote customer, right? Our number one priority. It's number one, man. And Mid-South is all about coming together to do something we never thought maybe was possible for us, whether it's riding it as fast as you can or just finishing. And that's what we want to celebrate all the way, man.
I love it. Well, you'd mentioned it before, but where can people find updates and kind of, you know, evolving, whether it's protocols or kind of, you know, what's happening with the event? Is the Mid-South website the best place to find updated information?
It is. Yep. Sally Turner, our event manager, she wrote up all the COVID protocol that's subject to change depending on just the whole entire like global landscape. And it's midsouthgravel.com.
All right.
Check it out. And then it's Mid-South Gravel on Instagram and then the Mid-South on Facebook. And so we're jamming there. We have a brand new marketing media guy. His name is Josh McCulloch. He's incredible. He's over in Guthrie and guy's amazing. So he's been helping with a ton. And yeah, I don't know if you saw Randy, the randomizer, but I had this idea for a robot that would be our randomizer, you know, mechanical machine that picked everyone's names for the event. And it turned out super cool. Our buddy Casey Robertson over in North Carolina, he pumped out this really cool image of a robot made out of all these different parts that amassed in the back of District Bicycles and became their own entity all together. And so anyway, that's Randy. I did not want to call this a lottery. I didn't want it to feel cut and dry. I didn't want it to feel like disconnected. You know, I wanted it to feel fun.
Well, you always do it the right way. So, hey, Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time. That's once again, midsouthgravel.com, March 12th and 13th, 2021. Bobby, yes. I hope to see you there next year.
I hope to have you as well, man. And we can do it as safe as possible.
All right. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks a lot to you.
Well, there we have it, folks. Another episode of Breakfast with Boz being served by Wahoo. I hope you enjoyed my episode today and my conversations with gravel promoters around the country. I hope it gave you a bit of information and insight into how to best prepare for the races that are hopefully coming next year. And next week, I will be joined by the folks behind the recent Wahoo film, West Highland Way. You can check that out tomorrow on Wahoo's YouTube channel. And we'll be speaking with Rab and Stu next week for another episode of Breakfast with Boz being served by Wahoo.